I don't know what happened. It was like 14 feet of water, and we went down, and I get thrown out of the boat, and my left leg gets pushed back under the rubber, like, cylinder, and my son's on the other side, falls on my leg. So I'm in the water looking up. My leg felt like it was going to break. I'm going to break my leg. And I'm under the water, and I'm starting to say, you know, I need some air here. I need some air. And I couldn't get up. So my son finally realizes he's on top of me, grabs my leg, and throws me out of the boat. Now, wouldn't you think he'd pull me back in? He threw my leg out. He figured three-quarter of me was already gone. Might as well just let the other part go. And I go floating down, and guess what? Same raft I fell into before.
Swim to the raft. Swim to the raft.
Now, these kids that were in there were college kids. There was about three guys and four girls. And they were no bigger than you, Tony. I mean, they're just little girls. And I'm thinking, this is embarrassing. Here I am, 6'4", 200 and some pounds. And this time, though, I had re-injured my Achilles. I'd sprained my right knee. And I'm in the water in shock. Literally, I'm shaking. And they're saying, swim to the raft. And I said, you say that one more time, I'm going to come up here and slap you. You ever hurt where you can't do nothing? It's like, jump in here and get me. But they weren't doing that. So the water was moving at such a rapid pace, my shorts came loose. You want to hear the rest of this? My shorts, I'm telling you all this for the reason why I didn't start dancing on that song, because my leg hurts. So my shorts are down around my knees. Now, I've got a long stretch underwear on, don't worry. But they're pulling me up in this raft. And now my shorts are on my ankles. I say, God, I'm in shock. I'm shaking. I'm thinking, what am I doing here? I have no idea how I got here, why I'm here. Get me out of here. So I get back in the boat, and the girl says to me, oh, it's you again. I said, thanks a lot. Save me, man. So are you all right? So I'm laying in the raft because I couldn't get up. Literally, I couldn't get up. And they said, well, you got to sit up. Are you okay? I said, no, I'm not okay. I'm hurting right now. They said, well, you got to get up. You can't lay there like that. I'm getting lectured by this little girl that I'm about ready to pray for. I just wanted to tell you why I didn't start cutting the rug over there on that song, because my left ankle's not quite secure yet enough, but I'll be back next week. But what an experience that was. Then this weekend they have bridge day, 1800 feet. People come from all over the world to jump off the bridge, base jumping. My son said, Dad, we ought to go back to bridge day. I said, Jesus' name, I am not going back to bridge day. You know, this morning, sometimes you find yourself in weird places and you didn't even ask to be put there. Sometime, like a lamb led away to slaughter, you find yourself in a situation you think, God, I didn't ask for this mess. Here I am under the water. Here I am hurting. Here I have people mocking me, making fun of my pain. I don't quite get it. I have no control of my life. Have you ever been there? Man, I've been there more than once. Matter of fact, last Monday. Look at me. I'm up on my leg. Yeah, all right. Let's get to the word this morning. I want to share with you what Paul did when he had fallen out of his raft and he was floating down the river and he was in big trouble. I want you to look at the word of God with me this morning, this afternoon. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, say it with me, ready? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I like that word faith. I like that word fight. Fight the good fight of faith. And that word fight in the Greek is a powerful word. You may want to write this down. It means this: striving for mastery. What the word of God is telling us is when you fight, You're fighting for mastery. Whatever has been over on top of your life, whatever has been dominating you, the Word of God says it's time to switch positions. That's why Deuteronomy tells us about the blessings of God. He said that we're to be the head and not the tail. We're to be above only and not beneath. So if I find myself beneath in any circumstance in my life, I've got to get my fight on. And my fight means I got to get mastery over the thing that's trying to rule me, that's trying to control me. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes when you get in the current of circumstances and you're floating at a fast pace in a direction you don't want to go, you need somebody to rescue you. And I'm going to tell you who that somebody is today. And I know you're ready to say Jesus, and that's true. But it's faith in God. Your faith and my faith is not a victory. According to 1 John chapter 5 and 4, your faith and my faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So anything in the world that is challenging you right now, it must bow. According to the word of the Lord, it must submit itself when we exert ourselves, when we begin to lay hold on eternal life. And you and I realize that we're in a fight to win and not lose. That's what makes it a good fight. You see, I still believe, no matter what your condition or situation, that there's still a ring that you need to wear. There's still a championship that you need to hold. There's still a trophy that you need to display in your case. There's still a finish line that you need to cross. There's still a blue ribbon that needs to be pinned on your chest. You're not a loser. You're a winner. You're a champion in Christ. And we can do, come on, all things through Christ that strengthens us. Everybody give me a little muscle thing there. Yeah, come on. You got to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I'm telling you, God's telling us that the strength of His word will preserve us. See, I've realized something about the kingdom. God refuses to leave you and me in the same condition in which He found us. I don't know how He found you. I know how He found me. I was a wreck. I was a mess. But God refused to leave me in the condition that He found me. And that's the message of this gospel. That no man or woman, no matter how battered or how bruised, or how long term the enemy has begun to exploit them, or the issue that they've been carrying, it doesn't matter. Because when you come to God, the Bible tells us that He will lift you up. He is our shield. He is our buckler. And with God, all things are possible. Come on, preach to me. All things are possible. It's all right. You can talk in this church. You can even say amen.
Amen.
Come on, let's just try it out. Say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, you got it now. I'll tell you, that's pretty good. You know, someone once said that attitude determines altitude. And you know, you and I've got to get up in the morning, look at ourselves in the mirror, and no matter what it looks like, we've got to declare what God has said. I like what Creflo said this morning. He really kind of energized me. He said, you know, it didn't look good at the Red Sea when Pharaoh was mounting up and coming down on the nation of Israel. It didn't look good. And people could have been saying, hey, you brought us out here just to die in the wilderness? You know, I don't know where you are in your life, and it may not look that good. But let me tell you something. God always has something up His sleeve. And if you and I will put our trust and faith in Him, that which seems to be impossible will become possible. That Red Sea will begin to part, and you and I are going to walk over on dry land. It's only a matter of time. So don't get nervous. You might be underwater, looking up, trying to get back to the top with a busted ankle, a sprained knee, an embarrassment with your shorts around your knees. I know some of you got the picture in your mind thinking, I'd love to have been there to see that. That was. But you know, sometimes that's the way we end up. The currents of life are so strong The forces we deal with are so powerful, and it appears as though we're going to be overwhelmed. But just at the moment when I didn't think I could do it any longer, just at that time when I didn't think I could hold my breath any longer, I came to the surface. I saw the sun shining and I saw the blue sky. Was I out of the water yet? No, but I was heading to somebody else's raft, and I knew that rescue was on the way. Come on, tap somebody and say, it's only a matter of time. God's going to rescue you. It's all about attitude. It's all about what you think in the morning when you get up. I've got to look at myself in the mirror and say, hello, Rocky. I've got to look at myself in the mirror and say, you're a winner and not a loser. I'm just thankful that I'm living inside a champion. I'm just thankful today that I'm above and not beneath. You and I have to have the right attitude. Listen to what Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. He said, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Oh, my goodness. Our outward man is perishing. Say that with me. Outward man is perishing. You know what that means? There's trouble on every side. There's problems. There are deteriorations. There are all kinds of incidents on the outside. But while that's happening, look what Paul said. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Listen, I might be up against the wall. I might be under attack. I might be under the water looking up. But in the middle of that struggle, Paul said there's something on the inside that's working in me. And it's only a matter of time. Just like in the movies, don't you love it? When you see that champion knocked down in the 9th round and he's laying there and they're counting 7, 8. And you just know he's going to get up. And on the number 9, he comes to his knee. And you're saying, get off, get off, get off. And just before they count him out, he's back. And he looks at his opponent. And he gets up there and he begins to whoop him. And now the tide is turned. And the crowd goes crazy. And he retains his championship of the world. That's what serving God's like, man. How many know this is a fight? This is a struggle for mastery. I didn't get saved to be led by the elements of this world. Neither did you. You and I aren't here in church this morning just so we can get some good points up in heaven. We've come here today to receive the instruction of God's word, stir up our faith, to worship a king that is the king of all kings and a lord that is a lord of all lords, to look death right in the face and say, not on my watch, to begin to stand our ground for our families and our friends and to say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't know about you, but you can begin to tell me that you don't want to come to church, that you don't like things of God. I've got a promise. I don't care what it looks like. The Bible said that if I'm saved, I have a promise for my household. Sweetheart, you may not want to come to church this morning, but it will be only a matter of time when your hands will be lifted and tears will be running down your face in the glorious presence of a living God. Attitude determines altitude. I like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24. He begins to talk about some of the outward circumstances. Now, there's not a person in here that could compare to these. Look at them with me. Verse 24, from the Jews 5 times, I received 40 stripes minus 1. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't imagine somebody being beaten 39 stripes. Not 1 time, but 5 times. I don't know what Paul would have looked like when he took his shirt off, but I would imagine it was a mangled mess of scars upon scars upon scars. The marks of Christ that were laid upon his body. He said, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. Journeys often in perils of water. I know what that's all about. Perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perilness of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, hunger, thirst, fasting, cold, and nakedness. Then he says an incredible word in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. He said, none of these things, say it with me, none of these things move me. I think if I'd have got into the first thing, I mean, number one, 39 stripes. I quit. I'm done. He said, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. You know why? Because he had an attitude of a winner. He had an attitude of a champion. He had an attitude that he understood that if God be for you, who can be against you? That it's only a matter of time. I know Pharaoh's coming. I know his army is on us. I know he's breathing threats down our neck. I know that there's a Red Sea here and there's mountains all around us. I know that, but I know something else. I know in whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able. How many believe that God is able? Come on, lift up your hands and shout it. I believe it. Woo! I believe it, man. So it's all about attitude. And Paul said, I believe it. And it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what's happening around me. He said, none of these things affect me. That's why he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and 7, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. He was trying to tell young Timothy. He said, listen, Timothy, stay in the fight. Don't quit. Keep on running, even when others drop off. Keep the faith. That word kept in the Greek is powerful. It actually means this. It means to stand in faith like soldiers assigned to a post and refuse to leave it because they are in submission to their commander. He said, Paul said, I have stayed in faith and believing God. I refuse to leave that position. I've kept the faith. Every one of us have to learn how to keep the faith and not let go. One of the things I was glad that when I went in that whitewater rafting experience, I couldn't rely on the guide because he was still in the boat. I couldn't rely on my son because he was down the river. He got thrown out too. I couldn't rely on those snooty little girls in that raft. They're saying, you again? I said, just get me up out of this water before I slap you. I couldn't rely on any of those things. I couldn't even rely on my experience because I didn't have any. But one thing I did have, I had on me. I had this orange vest tight around my body that buoyed me back up to the top again. Listen, you may not have anybody that's there to help you when you're in the middle of trouble. But if you'll just tie on to faith and not let it go, it's only a matter of time before you bubble back up to the surface. And God's got your back. Come on, tell two people, God's got your back. God's got your back, baby. You see, you and I need to take the position that surrender is not an option. Surrender is not an option. The only way you're going to defeat me is you're going to have to kill me. And guess what? I win anyway. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You and I have got to get the right attitude so we can get to a different altitude. Sometimes I think people always want to testify about the problems that they're experiencing. They say, oh, the bombs are bursting around my head. They're just bursting all around me. I say, well, you know what? Get up a little higher. Let them burst underneath your feet. Because the devil is under your feet. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17. Put it up on the screen for me. Boy, I like that. That's a nice right jab. Whew. Read this with me. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Paul called all those things 5 times being beaten. He talked about 3 times with a rod, shipwreck, as light momentary things. If you really would break down that scripture, you could actually read it something like this out of the original Greek. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Next slide. And you'll see what it actually can be interpreted by or how it can be interpreted. No, keep on going. I've got a slide that it gives you the interpretation of what 2 Corinthians 4:17 could actually be interpreted. There it is. Now, let's read this. Are you ready? But you got to say it with some kind of attitude, though. You know, sometimes you got to shake your head. You know, shake, get your hand. All right, ready? A good fight. That's what I fought. My race. I ran it with all my might. Never stopping until I knew I had reached the goal and finished it. See, you know, the devil needs to understand something about God's people. We're fighters. And we are not going to quit or give up. You know, you can talk about me like a dog, but I'm still going to come by and lick your hand and wag my tail. Because I've determined an attitude that's going to bring me high above your rudeness and your as a, not being a good friend. I've realized that nothing anybody can do to me is going to alter my stance and my ultimate goal of championship with the Son of God. You and I have got to get to that same place. As a matter of fact, I think we need a good confession. Perhaps you've been given one on the way in today. I don't know if you have it or not, but if you didn't get a confession, get one on the way out, and you can use it this week. But we've got it up here on the board. So here's what I want you to do. Take a little break. Put your stuff aside. Girls, put your shoes back on and stand up on your feet. Now, I'm not done preaching yet, so don't get too excited. But stand up on your feet. Come on, stand up on your feet. Now, I want you to say this with me as if you're talking straight into your circumstance and you're letting the devil know who you are in Christ. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's say it. I boldly declare that I'm a winner and not a loser. I don't throw in the towel and quit when it gets hard. Instead, I dig in my heels and refuse to surrender the territory that God has called me to conquer and possess. I live my life seriously and with balance and commitment because of God's Spirit inside me. I'm tougher than any challenge and stronger than any foe. I fight a good fight and run a good race. And I successfully guard over and hold tight to the assignment God has given to me life. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Now give somebody a high five. Come on, give them a high five. You can be seated. Even the praise team thought I was done. That's all right. Get comfortable. You know, Hebrews 11, 33 and 34 talks about those that did great feats of faith. And sometimes we think that these individuals that did these great feats are untouchable, unreachable. It talked about those that endured great hardship, being sawn literally in two, and believed God and never backed down. You are in such a company today of great cloud of witnesses who I believe are looking over those seals of heaven and saying, y'all praise him now. Because all of heaven is rejoicing. And every time one soul comes to Christ, there's a party in heaven. I believe today when we were worshiping God, we were around the altars, people were coming back to God, all of heaven stood up and took notice. When you made a choice to worship the Lord and to say, I'm going to press on toward the high mark of the calling of Christ Jesus. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to quit. Man, the angels were shouting you down. Heaven was stirred at your faith this morning. You see, you and I need to realize something about verse 33. Put it up if you will. Hebrews chapter 11. It talks about who through faith subdued kingdoms. Say that word, subdued. You know what subdued means? By force and with intimidation. You know, people that walk by faith are intimidating. People that walk by faith are forceful. I told you the story about Dr. Sumrall. One time when I met him, and he wanted to buy a C-130 military aircraft. No private citizen was permitted to own them. But he said, God told me to buy one. So before He even purchased the aircraft or got permission from the U.S. government. He built a hangar to house the C-130. This is a true story. His board thought he was out of his mind. His friends thought he had gone over the end. But he said, you know what? God's called me to subdue kingdoms. They're not intimidating me. I'm going to intimidate them. They're not going to force me out. I'm going to force my way in. That's exactly what Hebrews 11 says faith will do for you. You and I, when we get our faith stirred, we force our way in. We are those that will cause the intimidation on those that have been resisting us. This is a day when we've got to stop being intimidated by when somebody says no. Or stop being intimidated when they close the door. It doesn't matter how I get it. It may not be through you, but I want you to know right now, if God said it, I believe it. And that finishes it. He goes on to say subdued. Then he said they worked righteousness. That word work means accomplished. God has great things for you and me to accomplish in faith. He goes on to say they obtained a great testimony. They received a great promise. In other words, that word obtained means whatever God has promised, they began to possess. I don't know about you, but there are some things that I'm still looking to possess. I'm still looking to possess some stuff in my life. I'm not ready to just quit right now. I'm not ready to play it safe. You know, by going last weekend, some would say, you know, that was pretty dumb of you, Pastor. You realize how old you were? You know that you were the oldest person on the river that day? You know you were by far the oldest person in the raft? They were all like 19, 20, and 25. There's a reason for that. And then there was you. I say, you know what? I'm not ready to play it safe yet. I'm ready to stay on the edge. I'm ready to be out on the front lines. I'm ready to show everybody around me that I've not given up, because there's still some things I want to obtain. There's still some things that I need to receive. There are still some areas that I need to possess. There are still some things that are resisting me that I need to intimidate, because I'm tired of being intimidated. And I know that the force of God is in me, and He is going to cause me to be more than a conqueror. Somebody just lift your hands up and say, praise Him. Ah, you didn't do that right. Come on. You got to do it like you. I said, praise Him. All right, there you go. I got to teach you all something. Then he said this. He said, they stopped the mouths of lions. Isn't that crazy? How many saw that YouTube video of the lion that was attacking the trainer? Was over somewhere in Europe. Did you see that? And they were hosing the lion down. I said, hosing him? Get a gun. But, I mean, I know animal activists. I'm sorry. Hoses are good. But I'd have shot it. But It was attacking him. And the Bible says that faith stops the mouth of lions. The very thing that should have devoured you was stopped by faith. The very thing that should have put you under was stopped right in its tracks. You know, that's what I love it. Don't you love serving God? Because He's like, oh, Jesus, what you going to do? Come on, Jesus. Just when you think that lion's about got you, God said, I got your back, baby. Serving God is the most exciting thing you could ever do in your life. So you got to get out of the pew and start serving Him. Amen. And then it says this, He quenched fire. He quenched fire and He stopped the swords. The very thing that was going to take you down and take you out. You see, victory is as close as the air you breathe. As a matter of fact, can you do that song? This is the air I breathe. We sing that in worship, but listen to me, please. Faith is as close to you as the very air you and I breathe. But can I tell you something? I can't breathe for you. You have to breathe for yourself. And sometimes we look for people to have faith for us. And it's all right. You need that encouragement. Everyone needs to be resuscitated once in a while. But you and I have got to learn how to breathe for ourselves. Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10 said the word of God is near you and even in your mouth. It's time you and I take a deep breath of God's faith. That's why Jesus told his disciples, have faith in God. Quit looking to the preacher to have faith for you, or the elders, or the prayer line. At some point, it's just you in the middle of the river. When I got jettisoned into that river twice, the second time injured in a slight moment of shock, there was nobody there but just me. And I had to call upon the name of Jesus. And you know what? God rescued me. And the Holy Spirit showed me. He said, if you'll just breathe faith, I'll be there when you need me. Let me go back to that woman with the issue of blood, if I can, real quick. This woman in Mark chapter 5, her problem wouldn't go away. Can I say that one more time? Because some of us have been having a problem, and the problem that we're having is that our problem won't quit. You wake up and it's there. You think, well, you know what? 2010, this problem's going to go away. And guess what? It didn't. You're hoping that by the end of the year, it'll be better. But it wasn't. Maybe 2011 and we'll get through this. And you didn't. The problem with this woman's problem is that it didn't go away. It wasn't uncommon to have a problem, but it's those long-standing problems. It's a life-draining issue. Are you experiencing a life-draining issue? Are you experiencing a problem that has started to talk to you? Man, I know what I'm talking about. I've had some long-standing problems that learned my language and began to talk to me and tell me I wasn't going to make it. I was bleeding and nobody knew it. Because on the outside, it looked like everything was okay. But truth be told, my very life was leaving me. And it's at that moment that I have to make a decision. I've got to walk through the crowd. I've got to pass over regulation and tradition. I can't let the church tell me what I can't have. I can't let my friends say what God won't do. Because you don't know what it's like. I've got nothing left. I've spent it all. I've spent it all. And this woman finally touched Jesus. And when she did, virtue left the Son of God and went right into her being. Would you lift your hands with me? Come on, lift up your hands to Jesus.
Holy presence.
Come on.
Is living. this my daily bread.
Oh, somebody needs to breathe in this room.
This is my daily bread. Your very word.
Speak it, Lord. Declaration, live and not die. Come on, they are the victors. They are the champions. They just need a breath of faith. And God will raise them up. Come on, church, pray for them. You pray. You reach a hand out to them. If you feel led of the Lord to come and lay hands on them, then come and support them. But let's pray today. Let's believe that God is going to bring them through, no matter what they've been under, no matter what they've been carrying, no matter how long the problem's been talking. God is able. Amen. And I, oh,
and I.
Thank you. somebody over in the congregation by the hand? Would you cross over the aisle? Can we pray one for another? Come on, there's unified faith in this room. Something's happening up here, and I don't want you to be disconnected from it. I want you to release your faith into this room right now. Come on, there's desperation up here. There are tears of sorrow. There's agony. There's a fight going on. Come on, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you are our King and our Conqueror. Lord, we're believing now that you will do a miracle in their life. We put our faith together now and we say, live and not die, strength and not weakness, hope and not hopelessness. We declare, God, in this room for the supernatural breakthrough by your Spirit now, Lord. Release it. And the person whose hand I'm holding, I'm asking you, God, to do a wonderful work in their life, Lord. We'll give you praise. We'll give you glory. We'll give you honor. We'll give you thanks. And we celebrate the very presence of our God. Come on, give the Lord a clap offering, church. Come on. Woo! Singing and worshiping him. Those of you that have made provisions for the clam bake, I'm not exactly sure how it's going to happen, but it's going to be in the children's wing. You didn't buy tickets, I think there's a few left. We want to remind you, oh, matter of fact, wait a minute, I didn't show it to you. I was amiss. The Holy Spirit went a different direction. Can I show it to him now? Would it be okay? You have 2 minutes? Okay, which one are you showing? Infusion. Wednesday night, if you miss this, you're going to be so sorry. Look at the screen. One more. Can you do it real quickly for me? Thank you for your patience. One more. I want you to know that every person in this room is a soul-winning station. Amen? Watch this.
I want to tell you, I'm Ann McMullen, and I pray that I can really emote to you today what's in my heart. Because if you take a close look at this chart, that 68% of Americans attended church in pastors' parents' decades, and 38% attended in his day, and only 18% are attending church today. If you look at that big black line and see how the church attendance has declined, it should hurt your heart. It's a shameful statistic.
It has been stated that 90% of Christian men never share their faith with anyone. Independent studies show that atheism is the fastest growing religion in the world today.
It's obvious that we have neglected the Great Commission.
Jesus said, "We can't wait. The fields, they're ready and they're white, but the laborers, they're few." So I'm asking you, won't you join us?
In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Evangelism is not a gift, it is a command.
Now pay attention, because I want you to know that I would never say something like this. But I'll tell you what Joyce Meyer said this week. I heard her say it. She said, "You can sit on the pew till your pretty little butt goes flat, and nothing will happen until you get up and act."
Jesus said, "Just don't be a Christian who hears my word, but do two things. Be a Christian who hears my word, and be a Christian who does my word."
The prophecy for this church in Northeast Ohio will not happen until we get up and act together. 95% of all Christians have never won anyone to Christ because they are not equipped to do so. This class will equip you. Let's make Jesus' love so cool that nobody can resist it. Now, classes are going to begin in Lorain on Friday, October 29th at 7 p.m., and the next week in Valley View, that's Friday, November 5th at 7. So please sign up at the book table, and for more information, you can see Clarence Bramley, Sue Jordan, or me, Ann McMullen. Thank you, and may God richly bless you and push you off the pew.
Did she say push you off a pew? Real quick, Mike and Trina, come up here and tell us a little bit about your class. Is this okay? We got a couple minutes? You all good? Here you go.
Well, we're doing a marriage class. We've done several marriage classes, and Gary Smalley is the one who is going to lead the class for us. And this new material from him, he's awesome. He's awesome. He's counseled couples all over the country, but this material that we're looking at right now is just full of scripture. In the past, he's been very sensitive in his teaching and hasn't put much scripture in it, but it had great, great truths in it. And this time, why I'm so excited about it is he just, one scripture after another of correcting us in our the way we treat each other and the way we grow together and what our needs are and how to just grow old gracefully with each other and fall into deeper, deeper love.
Awesome. Just things that you can use right away. He'll give you stuff that you can start using immediately, and that's the part that I love.
Amen. Great. Thank you so much.
That'll be on Saturday nights.
Saturday nights.
And that'll be here. Just grab us in the hallway or at the clam bake and let us know you want to come so we can get your name and mark you down.
Amen.
Thanks, Pastor.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. Here you go. I don't want to throw it at you. Isn't it wonderful? I think Jesus is wonderful. And where's this couple? There's a couple here?
Mr. and Mrs. Dominic Lestory.
You didn't! You got married last weekend? You didn't. Did you elope?
We did.
You did? Everybody say congratulations. Isn't that awesome? Well, live right, love everybody. Pray hard. And don't forget, October 31st at night, we're going to have a prayer and praise play night right in this place. Love on somebody. We'll see you next time. Thank you. You're dismissed, right? Dismissed, right? Dismissed, right? Dismissed.